Jordan Dance!
Hang him up, gang. Bring him up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
NASCAR gets out the red ink pen and makes major changes to the rule book. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Riley Auto Parts Pit Reporters. With me this week, Zach Sterniolo from NASCAR.com and John Roberts from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
It's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network, presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. Now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have Zach and JR here. And man, we got a lot to talk about, and it's going to be a lot of rules.
A lot of rules.
Yeah, we got the red pen out like NASCAR did, and we're going to go over all these rules. I mean, this is, and a lot of this stuff is, I think it's good stuff, Zach, as we look at it, because a lot of this is in response to a lot of controversies last year. And it tells me NASCAR spent some time to go over this, because the biggest challenge, I think, when you ever start looking over rule changes is, so many times we see it, the unintended consequences.
That part. But thankfully, like you said, with these rule changes, I feel like many of them have been common sense solutions to a lot of things that kind of fix the unintended consequences of rules prior made. The first one that comes to mind to me is the damaged vehicle policy. I'm sure we'll get into it, but cleaning that up and getting things back to a place where things make just a little bit more sense across the board is a really great start to the season.
Yeah, I want to get to that one, but I think, JR, the one that a lot of folks have really been focusing on is this whole playoff waiver thing. And this goes back to the whole Kyle Larson situation where he chose to stay at Indy instead of coming down to Charlotte to start the 600, didn't run in the 600 at all, had to ask for a waiver to get into the playoffs because it says to get into the playoffs, you have to start every, you had to be in every race during the course of a season. He did not start every race. The playoff waiver now is granted. It says if a playoff waiver is granted for missing a race, the driver will forfeit all current and future playoff points. Now, a couple things here, JR. First of all, it does not say the driver is guaranteed to get a playoff waiver.
True.
If he gets the playoff waiver, though, he forfeits all playoff points to that point or in the basically anything earned in the regular season. And I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with it too, Brett. And this was the rule that really stuck out for me when I looked at the rule changes. Because again, we all know it's the Kyle Larson rule, right? It's because he missed the beginning of the Coke 600, then never got to racing it because of the rain on both ends. Now you make that decision as a driver. He, Hendrick Motorsports, everybody got together. They decided to stick with Indy, and so that left a lot of people saying, "Hey, wait a minute, where is your priority? How bad did you for lack of a better term?" The people that set up your race car, the people that work on your race car and your families by not being there to run that race. So I think two things I see for this. I love the clarification of it because I think we're pushing it just a little bit too far, right? The playoff waiver, I think, was one of the best things ever to happen with NASCAR because of the safety factor. The guys that were getting in race cars just to make sure they could run for the championship when they had no physical business being in the race car, that was a bad and a dangerous thing. And then you look at Kyle Busch at the Xfinity race in Daytona. He gets hurt in a NASCAR event, gets the waiver, goes on to win the championship. But then you start having those gray areas of, again, driver medical. And we could talk about it all day, snowboarding, frisbee golf, or whatever you want to talk about in ways drivers get hurt. But
Frisbee golf? Wait a minute.
Well, frisbee. No, I'm sorry. Edwards.
Okay, no, I broke an ankle carrying my dog down the stairs. Yeah. So, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, or carrying the dog. Whatever. Whatever excuse you come up with for having gotten hurt. But the driver medical, birth of a child, family emergency, and age restrictions, those things, I think, streamline this thing and get a little bit of a control on it. And also, it gives you the opportunity, hey, if you think the Indy 500 is more important to you than starting the playoffs off with more than 2,000 points, you make that decision, you do it, and you live with it. But I love the clarification here because I thought the playoff waiver was a pretty good thing in the situation of a driver getting hurt, living their lives, and then the other things that are involved there.
And Zach, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, and I said the same thing to JR, it says if a playoff waiver is granted for missing a race. So, you know, the first reaction I heard from people was, well, okay, so if Kyle Larson doesn't make it back from Indy, he still gets a playoff waiver. That doesn't say that.
No, at this point, there is no guarantee that waiver would be granted. I think it's more likely, but the driver also now assumes and understands what that risk is, right? And now it's established heading into the season. I think the reaction during the kind of debate of whether or not they were going to grant that waiver or what that was going to look like, there were a lot of options that NASCAR was considering. I feel like anything different than what they landed on would have been a little bit of a reaction too heavy in the moment because there wasn't a precedent established for it. Now there is that precedent, and now you go into the event understanding what that risk is. If you want to miss the start of the Coke 600, if you want to forfeit those points, that's on you. That's your decision. Now you understand just how grave of a decision that could be in terms of your playoff futures, right? Especially considering that Larson ended up finishing second in the regular season. That's 10 extra playoff points that he would have effectively had to forfeit if not for if this rule was in place in 2024. Now you understand what that risk is. It's cleared. There's nothing ambiguous about that outside of will you or will you not be granted that waiver if that situation arises in 2025.
Do you think, John, that NASCAR should have gone on to clarify what qualifies for a playoff waiver? Because a lot of people say, hey, look, if a guy gets suspended for rough driving and is told to sit out a race, why is he getting a playoff waiver?
That's a gray area, Brett. I'm glad you brought that up because that hanging out there right now, if somebody did something bad enough to get sat down or parked for a race, do you grant them a waiver? I've always thought that was kind of hypocritical and just really not within the spirit of the sport, or you know, just something that you wouldn't think would go together. A guy gets suspended and misses a race, but you say, oh, okay, yeah, it's cool. We'll just go ahead and grant you a waiver for that and put you up into the playoffs. So that again, and I think, you know, when we look at the way this is written, like you brought up, if a playoff waiver is granted for missing a race, I think you still put that in the hands of the sanctioning body, and I think that's there by design to say that it's in the hands of the sanctioning body. And then they get the opportunity to look at, okay, is it somebody doing something that's absolutely egregious and we had to sit them down? And now they get to look at, you know, again, what a driver was doing maybe when they got hurt. I think they left it open enough part of the rule that they can decide how they're going to enforce that rule, and they leave something open right there for their discretion.
You feel the same way, Zach, that NASCAR did that by design because NASCAR still likes the gray area.
That's enough of a gray area for the things that we can't account for, right? And so I think that's fair to include in there. It is interesting, though. I my hope and expectation is that what has previously been warranted a suspension continues to warrant a suspension, and that the seriousness of the penalty does not discourage officials from making those same calls. You think back to 2023, I think it was, when Chase Elliott turned Denny Hamlin during the Coke 600. Chase was suspended for a race. Does NASCAR make that same call in 2025, understanding that that eliminates his playoff standings as well? I certainly think so. Because ultimately, it comes down to safety. That's what makes it a suspendable action in the first place. And safety is paramount in any and every situation. So that doesn't really concern me. But I do think that there is enough gray area just to account for what we can't currently account for.
All right. Well, that is step one. That is one of the new rules. We also have rules that will deal with what we saw at Richmond and at Martinsville. We'll talk about all that when we come back.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. That's 800-393-5045.
Brett McMillan returns with his guests in just a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
Speedway Children's Charities raises money through several different avenues. My favorite is the gala.
It's one of those can't-miss events for everybody who attends. And I've been able to raise and distribute over $60 million.
When you have 50 different organizations receiving grants from Speedway Children's Charities, that's far-reaching. And some people think, well, I don't have much money to give. I say $50 is a lot to give.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Check out all of our show pages on GoPRN.com to find archived shows and more. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And welcome back, along with John Roberts from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. It's Zach Sterniolo from NASCAR.com. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. We're talking about the rule changes that NASCAR has announced for the 2025 season. And John, let's get into the ones that really dealt with what happened at Richmond last year, what happened at Martinsville last year, and I think really more so at Martinsville, with the results being to some extent manipulated to really set the final four that we saw. I'm sorry, I get sued by the NCAA for saying that. To set the championship
it's so hard
four.
To do that.
We back that up, Harold, and release that so I don't get sued. To set the championship four. First of all, you know, we kept hearing, and for years it was the 100% rule. Well, you could argue, what is 100%? You know, is saving fuel racing 100%? I mean, that, you know, you could make the argument that a guy not going full speed is not going 100%. But is saving fuel the what could get you to the finish line first? Yeah. So NASCAR, first of all, is saying that the verbiage around the 100% rule is being replaced by a focus on manipulating the outcome of the event championship. I'm absolutely fine with that. And, you know, you saw that somewhat in the situation that involved Bubba Wallace trying to, you know, slow down to help get, you know, Christopher Bell back up to help him be able to pass Bubba to get a spot that he needed.
Well, you know, I think I'm with you on that. I think the idea of focusing on the manipulating rather than the 100% rule, if we remember back, it was, you know, the Michael Waltrip Racing thing with Clint Boyer at Richmond and Martin Truex, that people were not, under their definition, not racing up to 100% of their capacity. But also at the same time, I like that fact that they are looking at manipulating the outcome of an event, because there are things out there that you might see. And also, you know, blocking, I think, comes into this a lot. I think blocking's been around as long as racing's been around. And when you're one of the guys that's up front at Daytona or Talladega or Atlanta these days, blocking is so you do as much driving out of your rearview mirror as you do out of the front windshield. So when you look at what's manipulating and what's blocking, I think it's very important to have that focus on there. And I think NASCAR takes it very seriously, because it's a good thing you do. If you want a sport to be legitimate, you have to have the rules. You don't want anybody manipulating the outcome of an event, because then it becomes something that's not necessarily legitimate, that's not going to have the legitimacy that the fans need, and something that NASCAR's really needed, you know, since the inception, to come from the backwoods to a, you know, legitimate professional sport. And I think NASCAR's done a fantastic job over the years in enforcing that. But this, again, is a reaction to a certain event, as was the 100% rule. It's a reaction to something they saw throughout the course of this year. And, really don't want to be the person that gets the book thrown at them this year for manipulating a race outcome, I don't believe.
No, absolutely not. And to me, as I kind of prefaced it with Zach, it's easy to stake the 100% rule. And you used to hear it all, you know, you'd hear it from fans all the time on Sirius. After a race, when a guy, you know, wins on gas mileage, he wasn't going 100, he wasn't the 100%. It's easy to take that literally. He was doing what he needed to do to win the race.
It was 100% effort.
100% effort, but not he wasn't going 100%.
And so I feel like that clarification kind of goes back to it, all these changes have been common sense changes. This one really highlights that. It's what is manipulation? What is the thing that we are trying to deter from the event, right? We don't want to see drivers slowing intentionally so that someone else that happens to drive that manufacturer's car also finds success and ends up in a better spot, right? We want to see these guys putting their full effort out to maximize whatever their finish is going to be that day. This rule enforces that. And it also, part of this, NASCAR has included language in the rule book now to issue penalties to OEMs, to the manufacturers themselves, who may influence these things. So you can take away manufacturers' points. You can fine them. You can part of the penalties that will be assessed for violating policies in place for vehicle testing, wind tunnel limits, event roster protocols, and code of conduct. All of those things are at risk of being taken away from the manufacturers. Now, all of that adds up. People don't think a lot of wind tunnel time and on-track testing anymore. That stuff is super, super valuable to everything that Chevrolet, Ford, and Toyota are doing to prepare these cars so that they're ready for competition by the time they roll off the truck. So all of those things add up together collectively, you would hope, to dissuade anyone from making those decisions that could, in fact, manipulate the outcome of a race.
Well, and I think, Zach, that's the thing that we all sat here after Martinsville and said, all right, how do you penalize the manufacturer?
Right. Right. And there really wasn't a mechanism in the rulebook to do that, which was unfortunate. And I say that because there were certain things it's hard not to speculate on kind of who said what to implement what strategy and whatnot. But clearly it seemed that there was a brigade of Chevrolets that were blocking the advances of others to help William Byron. Bubba Wallace, the same with Christopher Bell. But there was nothing really outside of the penalties that were levied to the respective teams involved. There was really nothing to penalize those who may have actually called those orders in. So now those mechanisms are in place to do so. So there's at least a ramification now that goes higher than the teams to hopefully nip it in the bud from the source.
I mean, that's the thing, John, you know, and specifically to the Chevys. You know, you can look at the situation with the Toyotas and, you know, okay, you know, Bubba Wallace and Christopher Bell drive for teams that are somewhat affiliated. But then you look at the Chevy thing where you had Austin Dillon and Ross Chastain basically blocking everybody, including the Ford of Brad Keselowski, from getting past the Hendrick driver of, you know, William Byron. We have no evidence that Chevy ever said, got on the radio and said, make sure nobody does this. But they sure knew what they were doing. And you know when you see it.
Yeah, it's like it just kind of reminded me a little bit when, remember, Carl Edwards had the white gloves on at Atlanta and the white gloves are going back and forth and, you know, you see them turn a certain way. It's kind of hard to argue that. It's kind of hard to go and say, well, no, I didn't turn into him. Well, we saw videotape that shows this. The people that are in NASCAR race control have a very difficult job, but they're not dummies. They're not up there because they're dumb. They know, I think, think when you look at these videotape scenarios where they can look back at them and they know what a car can do, they know what a driver can do. I don't think it's been very difficult for somebody to deny doing something like this. And again, that's why I think when they make something of a rule like this, you just don't want to be on the other side of it. And I applaud them again for doing it. And again, it's open to their interpretation. It's still up there as a sanctioning body. They can interpret it the way they want to because they're the ones that are controlling the race. But it's a difficult call sometimes to make. But sometimes it's just so obvious because it's like our entire society right now. Everything's electronically recorded, video or audio. And so you just can't get away with anything anymore.
Let's talk about the damaged vehicle policy. And you brought it up earlier, Zach. It basically, to some extent, doesn't exist anymore. You know, the 7-minute clock, the 8-minute clock in Atlanta, it remains active for vehicles on pit road. But it has been in the past. Once you go back to the garage, you're done for the day. That is no longer the case. If it leaves pit road, you know, goes back to the garage, you can repair the car and return to the race. Or if a car is unable to drive back to pit road after being involved in a wreck, you are able to repair that car and return to the race. And that goes back to the situation we saw a couple times last year. Guys got involved in early wrecks. They felt like if they could have gotten the car out of the mud or whatever, that they could have driven the car back and repaired it. So now teams have the opportunity to repair their car and get back out there. And I don't think because of the construction of these cars now, Zach, I don't know that we're going to have the situation of sheet metal flying off these cars and laying all over the track like we used to have, which really was the impetus for having this rule in the first place.
Right, because I think the rule first came in around the 2017 playoff, somewhere in that range. But now these cars, the way they're built, they are pretty bulletproof. So when you're putting that together and piecing it together, those panels typically aren't going to go anywhere so long as you make sure that everything is secured as it should be. The thing I would worry about from a car returning back to the racetrack after work in the garage at this point is leaking fluid, things along those lines. But outside of that, these teams are professional enough and speedy enough and efficient enough to typically repair these cars in a well enough condition to get back in a reasonable capacity. And so I think this rule helps clear that up a little bit. There's no real ambiguity anymore of, hey, listen, you didn't make it out within this allotted time. Now your race is over and pack it up. You're done. Especially when a lot of it were broken toe links that, yes, it might cost the team a lap or two to fix, but really they were within another minute or two of being clear enough to return to competition. Now, if you do exceed that time limit, okay, just finish it up in the garage, maybe lose another couple of laps, but your race isn't over and you can still return to competition. I think it's just better and more efficient for the field as a whole.
Well, and I think JR also from, you know, when you look at the playoffs and, you know, yes, points do figure into the guys making the playoffs in most seasons, you know, 1 or 2 points can make a difference. And, you know, that's the way it used to be.
Well, that's one thing I really liked about it. And you saw that was kind of the MO of Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus. Whatever happened on the racetrack, they never left points there. They gathered and accrued every point they possibly could, and therefore that played into them winning championships like they did. I like the old fact of these teams getting together. You know, you'd see teams that maybe from one car would go help the other car, and the effort that they put together in the garage area, just thrashing and working together, trying to get that car back out on the racetrack to get maximum points at the time. I like that concept. I like the teamwork concept. I like the never give up concept of it. I think it kind of fit with NASCAR. But at the same time, then you put those mutant alien looking cars out on the racetrack sometimes, and they're hobbling around. And boy, there was a situation once with Derek Cope being a ton of laps down. Andy Hillenburg at a time was just a ton of laps down and went out there in one of those cars trying to make minimum minimum speed, and eventually would have gotten black flagged anyway, would have gotten parked by NASCAR anyway. But before that happened, they got in the way of somebody that had an opportunity to win the race. And that was really a black eye, I thought, for, you know, not only for NASCAR, but also for those competitors as well. So I like striking a little bit more of a balance now that the effort can still be there to go out and, you know, receive maximum points. But again, I really don't think we need those junkers running around the racetrack at times. And I think NASCAR has done a good job that with the minimum speed policing it in the past. But to not see those beat up cars out there like we did in the past so much, I think is a step forward.
Well, each week in the Riley Auto Parts Pit Reporters, we give you a chance to go to GoPRN and vote in our poll. And this week's question is about the new rules that we've talked about. So which rule do you like the best? Is it the no playoff points for drivers who receive waivers, changing the 100% rule to manipulating, penalties for manufacturers, or update to the damaged vehicle policy? Last week, we asked you if you felt like Elio Castroneves could be a serious contender at the Daytona 500, and this is interesting. Pretty close. 54% said no. 46% said yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. When we come back, we're going to talk about Elio. He's guaranteed a spot in the 500. He may not get any money, but he's guaranteed a spot. Stay with us.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Down south, there's a place where moments are made at 180 miles per hour, where the thrills give you chills that are second to none. And at every turn, anything can and will happen fast. Some say it's just a NASCAR race. But it's Fastlanta, America's destination for acceleration, home of full-throttle throwdowns, partying into the night, and unbelievable photo finishes. NASCAR returns to Atlanta Motor Speedway for the Ambetter Health 400, February 21st through 23rd. Get tickets now at AtlantaMotorSpeedway.com.
Want to hear one of our past shows? Visit GoPRN.com. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
We saw a lot of chaos in the closing laps of the race. So just trying to minimize that, make it more about a race than people just using each other up.
I think it's needed. It was needed at all the road courses.
While I don't think it's going to be a home run, I think that it'll be in the right direction.
So many opportunities to either be really good or make mistakes, and they can start adding up on you quick.
For the latest NASCAR news without a restrictor plate, it's PRN's Garage Pass. For the station near you, check us out at GoPRN.com.
Hi, this is PRN's David Stiles. Join me each week when I head over to JC's Garage to talk NASCAR.
As of right now, if I were to name my top five, I could tell you Chase Elliott wouldn't be in that top five with this next-gen car. He has a lot to prove on the road courses with this next-gen car, but I still don't think there's a real out-front leader. I think Tyler Reddick has been outstanding.
That's JC's Garage, wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Check us out on YouTube at GoPRN Live. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And welcome back, along with Zach Sterniolo from NASCAR.com and John Roberts from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right, the last rule that we want to talk about, Zach, is the one that I really find the most interesting. And it's probably going to be the one that is used the least, but it is called the Open Exemption Provisional. And what it is it guarantees a starting position to a world-class driver who enters a NASCAR Cup Series race. Now, it does come with provisions.
Yes.
Which a provisional might. Not only is a provisional get you in the race, it comes with provisions. If you, in fact, use this, which you can opt to have it in your back pocket.
Yes.
If you don't make it on speed. But if you use this, the car will be credited. Let's see. If the car wins a race and or a stage, let me read the whole thing. Non-cars, prize money, race and stage points will be adjusted upward. If the OEP is used, the car driver and owner will not be eligible for race points, playoff points, prize money, or any tiebreaker benefit or finishing position. So basically, and Elio Castroneves is the guy we know that has got this in his back pocket, driving for Trackhouse at the Daytona 500. If he doesn't make on speed the Daytona 500, he can use this open exemption provisional, or the OEP as we're calling it. If he does, that means we'll start 41 cars at Daytona, but he won't get, and he wouldn't get race points or playoff points anyway because he's not running every race, but he would not get any prize money. He'd basically be doing this for his kicks and grins.
The sponsors are happy because he's in the race, and the fans are happy because he's in the race, and it's properly being billed as a big deal that a four-time Indianapolis 500 winner is part of the Daytona 500 and wants to participate in that. This ensures that he's there one way or the other. If he qualifies in on speed or through the duels like any other open car can and would, then great. We'll start 40 cars and he has earned one of those 40 positions. But if he doesn't, then he will tack onto the back of the field and be that 41st car on the grid. Like you said, no points, no prize money, not a whole lot of anything outside of that exposure, but also the chance to compete for the Great American Race and the Harley J. Earl Trophy, which he would receive if he were to go out and win this race. That's what he gets is he would get the he'd be eligible for the race win, the trophy. He'd be eligible to compete in the NASCAR All-Star Race, but he would not be eligible for any championship points from that event, any prize money, no playoff eligibility, which is a moot point anyway because he's not running the full season. I like this. There's a part of me that feels like the Daytona 500 could be that one exception where we don't have the OEP because the duels mean something, right? And we know how many open cars go into this race. We know how many people try to fight for their way into the Daytona 500. And that is a thing that every driver, regardless of experience or success in any other motorsport, that they've got to fight through to get to earn their way into the Daytona 500. That kind of changed with the charter rule, though, because you've got 36 cars that are guaranteed entry. So if he was to get into one of those 36, it'd be the same thing anyway. If he were not to qualify on speed, and Trackhouse Racing brings fast cars to the racetrack, we know this. I expect him to qualify and be one of the 40 cars. If he doesn't, though, it's not that he's taking a spot away from anyone else on the grid. And I think that's an important piece of this.
Yeah, and I want to talk further about that, but we'll get John's thoughts on that. You know, to Zach's point, if he wins the race and he uses the OEP, if he's the 41st car, to quote the classic movie Blazing Saddles, he get a Laurel and Hardy handshake.
Yeah, and you know, but I think the big thing there is what Zach just said, that he will not bounce another guy out. That's the important thing. Now, if you inserted him into the race and somebody else who came down to Daytona on a wing and a prayer trying to make this race and had that last position, but you said, no, the superstar from another discipline is going to get that spot, I think that would be bad. The fact that they would add them in later, and it goes back to what I called, you know, the old Earnhardt rule, right? For the Clash, you know, they used to be the pole sitters that would get into the Clash, and Earnhardt just didn't go out there and win poles because he didn't care, he didn't need to, he won races. So you can't have that beginning of the season extravaganza without Dale Earnhardt in. So they changed the rules, and then all of a sudden they had this rule where if you are a previous Daytona 500 pole sitter, which just happened to be on the resume of Danica Patrick, you would be in this race as well. And when it comes to those all-star races like that, I had absolutely no problem with it whatsoever because you're trying to give the fans what they want. If they're going to go to a race and not see Dale Earnhardt, or if they're going to go to a race and not see Danica Patrick, it's going to take something, I think, away from the event. And so it's like the beginning of the rule says that it's similar to promoters' provisional used in short track racing. Well, that was the idea, to get pairs of eyes on the sport and butts in the seats. And I have no problem when it's doing that, because say somebody is just an open wheel fan, they like the Indy racing, or they just simply like Elio's personality, which is fantastic, and that brings them to a race, or that makes them watch the race, and then they see the other competitors in the race. They see the Chase Elliotts of the world, the Kyle Larsons, and then they look at that and they become a NASCAR fan. I think that rising tide raises all ships, but the one thing about this rule, guys, is I think it is important too, that this is not going to be a weekly occurrence. You know, this is going to be for some of these big events, and it will not bounce somebody out of the big event. It will simply add a spot for a world-class driver, and the whole Project 91 concept with Justin Marks and Trackhouse, I think it's just a fantastic thing anyway, and it's brought us some pretty cool results.
It reminds me, John, of the old former champions provisional.
Yeah.
I agree.
You want you want the champs in the race, guys. And, you know, if you're going to have somebody come to a race, come to a race, it's like if somebody goes to the ball game and, something weird happened and you sat Tom Brady down, or you know, if there just was something that made them not compete, there's something about having that superstar power in the races. Again, I don't think any of the competitors would be angry about, as long as it doesn't bounce them out. And that, I think, is a key here.
And Zach, you made the point, and I think this is important, because when it was first announced, there was a lot of criticism that, oh, well, it's going to cost a longtime NASCAR driver, or one of the guys that's out there grinding every single week, it's going to cost him a spot.
Nope.
If he qualifies on speed, okay, yeah, it's going to cost him a spot, but he's going to earn it on speed.
That's right. That's the biggest thing.
If he uses the OEP, it's because he didn't make it on speed, and those guys are going to make it anyway. So we're starting 41 cars. We wouldn't start 41 cars if he makes it on speed. We're not starting 41 cars. If Elio makes it on speed, we're not starting 41 cars.
Right.
Yeah. So the playing field's level in that situation. That's what I was getting at. That's a good thing about that, is that you're not just simply inserting this guy into the field.
Right, and I think that's a key part of this, is that it's not taking anything away from any of the competitors who are trying to get down there. If Elio earns his spot in this race, he's earned his spot as one of those 40 cars. If not, then okay, great. The four guys who did earn their way in get to race, and they get to get that, earn that prize money. They get to earn those points. The car owner gets to walk away from that feeling super accomplished. There are some small teams that make this race, and this race can make an entire team's team's entire season. If Elio does not qualify for this race, he doesn't take away from any of those teams. Like, let's say in New York Racing, if they enter a car, there are a couple of those open teams that are on the smaller side, right? This could make or break their year. Elio doesn't factor into that anymore, unless he earns his way into the spot, into the field, just like anyone would any other year.
And he's not going to take their lunch money if he takes the OEP, and he, you know, wherever he finishes, he gets none of that money.
Right.
The money goes to whoever, you know, if he gets fifth place money goes to whoever finishes sixth, and it goes on down the line from there. When we come back, we now know who's going to be calling the Xfinity races this year on the CW. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about this, but imagine how great your life could be, and all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number, because here it comes.
800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
We've got more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Start your engine!
Reddick goes right to the bottom of the racetrack. Chastain tries
Roberts on the inside. Byron in the middle. Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding. And Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the edge and a spin off of turn four.
Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
Follow at PRN Live on Twitter for show news and information. Now more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters with Brett McMillan.
And welcome back, along with John Roberts from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and Zach Sterniolo from NASCAR.com. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. CW has announced who is going to be doing their broadcast as far as personnel goes, as they are doing the entire Xfinity series this year. And it's going to be Adam Alexander, our good friend's going to be in the booth, along with Jamie McMurray and Parker Kligerman. And on pit road, they will have Kim Coon and also Dylan Welch. So as you look at that lineup, what do you think, JR?
Got to say, great choice. Adam is just such a pro and such a great guy. I think they have really high class people there, because Parker and Jamie have just always been such high class. Kim and Dylan do a great job in the pits. But I think one of the biggest things about this whole thing, whoever they did choose to take on this thing, the fact now that there's a whole dedicated network to the Xfinity series, I think one of the things about the Xfinity series that it was okay in the years past when it was the Busch series and then nationwide, you would look at the results of one of these races in the series, and it would be three Cup Series regular drivers. Two of the best things that NASCAR has ever done, I thought, were making you declare for a championship in one of the three top series. You couldn't run for multiple championships, putting a limit on the Cup Series champions, how many drivers, how many races that they can drive in. But also at the same time, the overall effort to give this great series of great racing, to give it its own identity and not make it just Cup light, has been really well done over the years. And this is a huge step forward to have an own dedicated network to this racing series.
And let me also throw out, Zach, that Carla Gebhardt, who is a local sports anchor in Charlotte, is going to be the person who will be hosting the pre-race show.
And she's done a lot of great stuff with Dirty Mo Media over the last year as well, and have more of a presence nationally in that role. I think she's going to be great in that role. I think this is a really well-balanced broadcast booth.
Yeah, well, wait, guys. The last time a local sportscaster from Charlotte got hired to do a pre-race show for a network, look what happened.
I wonder who that would be.
Sorry. It's worked out pretty well. It's worked out pretty well, I think. I think.
Let's see. Let's see. How many years later is he still involved in the sport, John?
21.
It's a pretty good record.
Is that all?
It's a pretty good record.
No, wait. Yeah, there was that was 23.
Apparently you can't do math.
24.
Yeah. Good thing he's doing racing and not math.
Yeah, well, like Ward Burton said, I went to military school. I didn't go to speech of school. So I can't add. That's why they made the calculator. 24 years, Brett. Thank you.
There you go. Okay. That sounds better.
No, but I think the booth is a fantastic combination of a lot of things. It's a lot of racing experience with Jamie McMurray and Parker Kligerman. It's a lot of broadcast experience with Adam Alexander. And on pit road, same thing. Kim and Dylan have done great jobs with MRN before advancing over to the TV side of things. I think this is a really great booth and a great team that's going to complement each other well, and especially having Adam Alexander in the booth. He's gotten so much praise, rightfully so, over the last number of years with the work that he's done at the Xfinity level with a rotating cast of driver analysts who have come in. It is not easy to manage all of those different personalities. There are egos involved in that, and Adam has made it look easy, honestly. I'm very excited to see him with a steady group of people around him in the booth and on pit road to bounce off of and build that chemistry over the course of a really long and grueling schedule. You know, thinking about this earlier, the Xfinity schedule as well, there's 12 straight weeks to start the season there. It's a long grind, and people kind of underestimate what that does for the media side of things as well. It's not just the guys on the racetrack. It's going to be really good, I think, though, to have that rhythm built into this broadcast group as they start their tenure over at the CW.
And, of course, Adam is also going to be doing the Cup races that are on Prime and also Warner, which is TNT and Discovery. And I believe, and I haven't talked to her about this, but I believe Kim and I assume Dylan will still be doing races for NBC when we get to their part of the year as well. So, yeah, so great for all of them. I'm excited for them. And I think, as you guys have both said, I think it's a great booth and a great pit road as you look at that. Look forward to hearing them all. And no, it's going to be cool to have a dedicated team for the Xfinity series. And I think the Xfinity series fans will really enjoy that as they get to know those guys better. They won't just be the other series there on the weekend. When we come back, I'm going to get these guys' thoughts on what they're looking forward to and looking for as we hit 2025.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Imagine the roar of the engines, the smell of burnt rubber, the electrifying energy of the crowd. It feels like America. It's the Food City 500 NASCAR weekend, April 11th through the 13th. It's racing the way it ought to be. This year, it's a triple header weekend with the thrill of trucks, Xfinity, and Cup racing packed into three heart-pounding days. Visit BristolMotorSpeedway.com for tickets and details.
More of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters in a moment. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
Where's his place in all of this?
So I look at Jimmy Johnson, and maybe I have a little bit different perspective because I grew up with Richard Petty while he was winning all of his championships and stuff. And it was tough. It's tough to win championships. I mean, so many great drivers, as we go back in time, won lots of races and never won championships. So many great drivers won lots of races, never won Daytona. Those big moments, they just couldn't get over that hump. So to win seven, no matter how you win seven, is amazing. I believe, and I have said this a million times on a million different occasions, Jimmy Johnson's five in a row is the most underrated record in all of sports. It gets very little attention, very little attention. We talk about Tiger Woods winning all these majors. We talk about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. You talk about everything that Richard Petty has done, everything Dale Earnhardt Sr. has done. Five in a row, nobody's done five in a row.
Download our free mobile app to listen to the show and more great PRN content on the go. Now, back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
And welcome back. We're getting ready to hit 2025, just a couple weeks away from Bowman Gray, the madhouse.
The madhouse.
Oh, well, Zach, as we get ready to start the season, what are the stories you're going to be keeping an eye on this year?
There's a lot. I think we're kind of spoiled heading into this season. I'm super excited about that. But I would say the one most interesting thing to me is what Chase Briscoe does in that number 19 car over at Joe Gibbs Racing. He was in a decent spot over at SHR. I think we thought that that was a better opportunity for him when he got there than maybe it ended up being. But now he's at arguably the best and most powerful team in NASCAR today. Certainly Hendrick Motorsports is up there in that category as well, but certainly he is at the powerhouse Toyota team alongside Denny Hamlin, alongside Christopher Bell, alongside Ty Gibbs. What can Chase Briscoe do with this opportunity? I have a lot of high expectations for him, and I know that he has high expectations for himself. I think he can do a lot of really good things with that car, and I think that he can take that team and turn this into a two- or three-win season. But we have to get there first. It's going to be interesting to see how he bounces off of all the resources that he's got there now, but also working with crew chief James Small. We've heard over the years, James and Martin Truex Jr. kind of get a little chippy with each other over the radio. Is that going to exist at all between these two? What's that chemistry going to be like, that dynamic? How does Chase fit into all of those things? I'm fascinated to see, because we don't see a lot of major changes at these powerhouse teams these days. This is the first one I can think of in a hot minute that really catches my eye.
Yeah, well, and, you know, Gibbs went the whole second half of last year without winning a race, too.
It's crazy. It's not since June when Christopher Bell won at New Hampshire.
Yeah, that's crazy. JR, what are you looking at this year? Going to be keeping an eye on.
Man, there's so many different things. I want to see if the trend continues where we're still seeing a lot of butts in seats and seeing a lot of pairs of eyes on the TV broadcast. I've always been a media nerd, and I want to see if that trend is going to continue. I certainly hope it does. I like these new drivers in new places. Of course, Chase Briscoe is going to be one that we're going to keep an eye on. But you know what I'd really like to see this year, and I'm intrigued by it. We've seen drivers that have bounced around a little bit before. Is this the right fit for Ryan Preece? Is he in the right place now? Is he going to break out now? Certainly a lot of people have seen a lot of talent in this young man. It hasn't exactly happened yet. I would love to see it happen this time around. And then again, I think when we head to Daytona, when everybody has clean uniforms and isn't mad at anybody else yet, I want to see if we're going to continue this trend of racing that we've seen with the close finishes. And really what I honestly believe has been a fantastic product on the racetrack in terms of the finishes, the excitement, the closeness of the racing, the passing. I think I'd like to see that all continue in that right direction. That's what I'm keeping an eye on, but also keep a close eye on Mr. Preece. I hope he does well.
You know, JR brings up a great point, Zach. You know, we saw a lot of close finishes last year, but the history says the more time these guys have with cars, the more separation you start to see. Could that be the case this year?
I think it absolutely could be. I expected to see more separation last year than we really did. I mean, obviously, Kansas comes to mind with the closest finish in Cup Series history. But we had like three of the closest finishes in NASCAR Cup Series history in 2024. We still got a lot of winners, too. I think we had somewhere north of 15 different winners in 2024. This could be the year. We're going into our fourth season now, which is kind of hard to believe, with this next-gen car. So you would assume that these teams are still figuring out, or have figured out, I should say, how to make these particular cars go fast. There haven't been a whole lot of changes on the Chevrolet side. Toyota's going into its second year with its new Camry. The Fords are going into its second year with the Dark Horse Mustang. Can those two manufacturers close that gap or expand a gap on Chevrolet because now they've got a more defined or experienced notebook behind them to carry into this 2025 season? I think that's going to be where that separation comes from, if so.
So, JR, if you know, last year we saw Shane Van Gisbergen go into the Xfinity Series and dominate the road courses. Full-time Cup Series driver now, can he do the same thing in Cup and grab himself a playoff spot?
Man, there's no question. I think it's almost a guarantee. Well, nothing's guaranteed in racing, guys. We know that. But, boy, I tell you, if I was a betting man, and I'm too cheap to bet, but if I was, boy, one of the first things I'd lay money down on is that Shane Van Gisbergen is going to win a road course and be a playoff driver. Now, what he does for the rest of the thing, we've seen to really be a competitor in the Cup Series these days, you can't be a one-trick pony anymore. You do have to have to bring it up. But he's shown that he's improved his game on the other disciplines of racing, on the short tracks and the big tracks, and that if he can continue to improve there, I think he's going to have a long career. But I just don't think you can be a road course specialist and hang around for a real long time. That novelty kind of wears off. We saw it with Marcus Ambrose. I'd really would have liked to have seen him done more on the oval racetracks because he was a great guy to have around. Didn't happen. But, man, I tell you what, again, I just think before going into this season, I think there's no doubt that SVG wins one of those.
All right, when we come back, time for our white flag laps. Stay with us.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. 800-475-8167. That's 800-475-8167.
There's more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters still to come. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
If you have a chance to make a difference in a kid's life, you need to take full advantage of that opportunity.
For those kids to know somebody has their back, somebody is caring about them, thinking about them when they feel like nobody is.
Anything that I can do now to support Speedway Children's Charities, I do because I've seen the work firsthand.
We owe it to children, no matter where they come from.
Unfortunately, there is no end to some of the terrible atrocities in our world. Speedway Children's Charities can feel really good that we are getting the most good out of every dollar that's given.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission
is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
Because their future is our future.
And there's still so much they can teach us.
Find out more at SpeedwayCharities.org. Get your short track racing fix with PRN's At the Track. Visit GoPRN.com. Now, more of the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
All right, time now for our white flag laps. And first up from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, it's John Roberts.
Brett, thanks a lot. You know, when you look at the rules package that NASCAR has right now, we saw the tweaks that they have done to certain things about, OEPs, open exemptions, and damaged vehicle policies, and running at 100% and not manipulating a race. These are small tweaks, but I think a lot of people have been out there calling for a change to the playoff system because they didn't like the way it came out in certain situations. I don't think we've ever really had a better situation in the world of NASCAR than we do right now in terms of challenging of crowning a true champion at the end of the season. You have to be consistent. You have to be consistent throughout the year. You have an opportunity to have a bad break here or there, and you have to be the best on one given day. Do not mess with the way we crown a champion right now until somebody comes up with something a lot better. I think we're doing pretty well right now.
I agree. I think it's working out really well. Next up from NASCAR.com, Zach Sterniolo.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? Well, we've reached that point in the offseason where I feel like NASCAR fans have just had enough of absence of race cars on the racetrack. And in just 1 month from now, we will be waving the green flag on this 2025 NASCAR Cup Series season at the Daytona 500. The atmosphere heading into this season really feels stronger and higher than almost any other year in recent memory. We talked about the storylines earlier. They are endless. Will Kyle Busch return to his winning ways? That's another thing we didn't touch on. Will a revamped and youthful lineup at Front Row Motorsports produce some excitement? Will a refreshed Spire Motorsports fight for a spot in the playoffs? We get to watch some of the greatest drivers in the world pilot stock cars at their absolute limit and absolute edge. Larson, Bell, Reddick, SVG's in that category now too in his rookie year. Briscoe in a new ride. Logano trying to joined super, super legendary company in collecting a fourth NASCAR Cup Series championship. The anticipation is killing me, and I know it's starting to drive a lot of fans insane, too. We are so close, and I cannot wait for February 2nd when we wave the green flag for the Cookout Clash at Bowman Gray.
Yeah, Justin Marks has got the world, the United Nations of race teams.
Amen.
four drivers, four countries. Hey, it's pretty clear that NASCAR has spent some time in this off season reliving controversial situations from 2024 and figuring out ways to avoid them in 2025. And then we talked about it. As a result, we have a whole new list of rules that we're going to have to sift through going into the new year over and over again to make sure we really understand them. But I believe for the most part that they've done a good job addressing the challenges that they were presented. What to do with drivers who willingly skip races? How do you handle over-aggressive driving at the end of races or efforts to manipulate results by drivers or manufacturers? The biggest challenges when you're writing new rules, though, is to look for and avoid areas of unintended consequences. Are there any in these new rules? Well, that's something we're not going to know for a while. Nor do these rules guarantee that we're going to get through 2025 without controversy. These teams are always looking for an edge. And that just about ensures that somebody's going to step into the gray area and necessitate another rule book rewrite next offseason. Zach, JR, thanks a lot for being with us. And we'll talk to you next week in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network was presented by O'Reilly Auto Parts, your professional parts people. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.